I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, or is it? How do you really know what we say is real? That's the kind of question that's coming up a lot in this post-factual age. Trust in the mainstream media is low, and so is much of the news we see on social media. It's false or distorted. Some would even say we're in a new age of yellow journalism. So let's take a moment to review the history of yellow journalism in this country with our history guy, Chris Wolfe. What is yellow journalism, first of all, Chris?
Well, here's an example. American journalism is dead, Marco. Its bleeding corpse was found twitching in the gutter on lamestream Media Avenue. Fanatics were seen dancing nearby and defiling the body. Those are the key elements, Marco. A sensationalized banner headline, then a short, weak story full of lurid detail that's more imagination or distortion of reality than solid reporting. If it bleeds, it leads. In other words, any journalism that treats news in an unprofessional or unethical manner. You could think in the last election cycle of any of the unfiltered reporting of any of the falsehoods put out by candidate Trump about Benghazi or blaming Hillary Clinton for Syria or things about the Clinton Foundation, and on the other side of Trump ties to Russia, the Pope endorsing Trump, Pizzagate, all those kinds of things.
Do you have some real examples from the history of yellow journalism?
Well, perhaps the one that most impacted history was the one that started the war with Spain in 1898. The New York Journal, on February 17th of that year, ran the headline, "Destruction of the warship Maine was the work of an enemy." This was a U.S. battleship that blew up in Havana Harbor, and the sensationalism like that drove public opinion, which drove Congress to declare war on Spain.
That newspaper was run by William Randolph Hearst, correct?
That's right, Marco. We're talking the golden age of yellow journalism, when the phrase was coined in the 1890s by the editor-in-chief of the New York Post, a guy called Lawrence Godkin. He coined the term, apparently, and we're not really sure why he called it yellow journalism. Some people ascribe it to the yellowish hue of the papers in the circulation war between Hearst's New York Journal and Joseph Pulitzer's New York World. Others ascribe it to the Yellow Kid, which was the first cartoon in American newspapers, which was used to dramatize the stories that they had.
So how unusual was yellow journalism at the time when it was this golden age of yellow journalism?
Well, they took sensationalism to new levels. But at that time, and through most of history and in most parts of the world even today, most newspapers and news outlets have an editorial line, an agenda that they're pushing, political ties or a crusade that they think is important. And it was quite unusual for papers at the time to have an independent ethical line. Even ethical so-called newspapers had often a crusading line, like the New York Tribune of Horace Greeley. But you start, the first independent paper was in 1835 with the New York Herald. It was politically independent and set many of the rules for independent newspapers. The New York Times followed in 1851. The Associated Press was founded about the same time. So that was the 1830s, 40s, and 50s. So it's almost like there's a cycle, Marco, to do the history of American journalism in 30 seconds. Early 19th century good, late 19th century bad, 20th century mostly good, 21st century off the rails again.
Yeah, so where did we go wrong in this most recent chapter of yellow journalism, if we can call it that?
Or did we, Marco? That's the big question. There are plenty of good journalists out there. Perhaps the more important question is, when did the business model for journalism fail? People read what they want. And so the temptation is to give people what they want, which is quite often entertainment, so that you find a lot of the drive for circulation and ratings now is following the more populist line. And serious reporting, which is expensive, gets left behind. I'd also add one more comment, which is using my immigrant outsider hat for a moment, looking in and say there's been this sustained campaign from the right to denigrate serious news for the last 15 or 20 years. I mean, just as an outsider, you're looking in and you can't help but see it. It's just an observation. It's not a comment. You know, the motives are a mystery to me, but the effect is the same, that a lot of people have, as a result, lost their trust in the media.
The World's One-Man History Desk, Chris Wolfe, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Marco.